All right, we will go ahead and call the January 16th, 2025 Zone 3 meeting to order. David, will you call the roll?
Sure.
All right, member Seacrest, member Rushing, member Guthrie.
Here.
Member Gibson.
Here.
Member Hageman. Member Talley.
Here.
Member Riley.
Here.
All right, thank you. And with that, we'll roll into public comment. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to make a comment about something that is not on the agenda? All right, hearing none, we will move to approval of the meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion about the minutes? And with that, we'll have yes.
No.
Okay. With that, we'll have a roll call to approve the minutes.
All right. Member Seagrass. Member Rushing. Member Guthrie.
Yes.
Member Gibson.
Yes.
Member Hageman. Member Talley.
Yes.
Member Riley.
Yes.
All right, the minutes are approved. And with that, we'll roll into the operations report.
Okay. All right, so we'll start off with the storage projection chart here. So everything seems to be tracking pretty normal with the current rainfall to date. We've talked about this before, about the blue projections on this chart and where those come from. I do have a staff member working on like a one-page memo to explain how we developed this chart. And we'll be providing that hopefully at the next TAC meeting and next AC meeting as well. So, but as of right now, with the current rainfall, it's tracking pretty normal. So, any questions on this chart?
Yeah.
I'll skip. I'm coming back to that one. Got out of order on here. Water usage. Everything's kind of tracking normal to date. If you guys have any specific questions on here, I can definitely answer them. But currently the water usage is looking really good. I think conservation efforts over the last several years have kind of paid off, and we're continuing those conservation efforts, just not forced, but just kind of a way of life. So the usage looks really good. So any questions on usage?
No, for me.
And then let's see. I do not. Let me get back to you on the actuals for today. Let me get those pulled up after in a minute. I did not get those for today. So let's go back up to this guy. So this is the historical reservoir levels based on the preliminary injunction that was filed by the plaintiffs in the legal matter with Zone 3 in the county. If some of you might have seen this already, some of you might not. So what this graph is depicting is we went back and looked at the base flow rates and the pulse flow rates that are proposed under the preliminary injunction. We started in 2011 when the reservoir was at a nice high level. Prior to this, we looked at it all the way back to early 2000s, but that data can be a little skewed because of the seismic retrofit and things like that. So we wanted to get a jumping off point that was kind of, accurate with the reservoir being nice and full. So we started in 2011. As you can see, the blue line, that is historical data. The red line is the projected flow regime under the new preliminary injunction. As you can see, in about 2017, the reservoir would have dropped down to well under 10,000 acre feet. We believe that at that elevation, we would not be providing downstream release, we wouldn't be having downstream releases or municipal deliveries at that point in time. Water quality would be of concern, and our lowest intake is actually at that orange line that you see, the dashed line. So the water quality would be pretty terrible. So it'd be bad for the fish, and it'd be bad for the people as well. So we see that in 2017. That one ticks up pretty quick because we got a lot of inflow after that. But you can see the worst one in 2021. That would have been a prolonged period of over a year. Or about a year of no water deliveries to the agencies or downstream. So the blue line, that is our, I'm trying to remember which one that one was. That was our highest intake, if I recall. Actually, it's on there. Oh, yeah. So that's intake, I think it's intake 5. So that's where we believe water quality issues would begin, around that blue line, and it exists all the way down until we drain the lake below that. So, any questions on this modeling that we did?
Well, thank you for sharing this, because, I mean, I think this really brings to light what a challenge we're facing if we're going to move forward with this. So, David, and I don't know if you're going to talk about this now or later, did the increased releases begin yesterday?
They did, yes.
And to restate, how many acre feet over the course of the year, additional releases does this result in?
So, historically, we released somewhere between 3,800 and about 4,200 acre feet. That's in line with our interim downstream release schedule. It's in line with the safe yield analysis of the reservoir. Currently, under the new proposed release rate at 7.9 CFS, that actually accounts to about, and I don't have my numbers right in front of me, but it's either 5,200 or 5,600 acre feet per year. So normally we were at 3,800 to 4,200, and now we'll be up around, that 5,000 something. So the safe yield number is 4,200, though.
So beyond the safe
yield. Beyond the safe yield, yeah.
Okay.
And just for, explaining it to you, the safe yield determines the recovery of the reservoir. So as long as we meet the safe yield every year, it means that the reservoir will recover adequately and never go dry. But we've seen historically that once you start messing with the safe yield, that it will have these prolonged periods where the reservoir is really low. The seismic retrofit in the early 2000s was a perfect example of that. It took us 20 years to fill it and spill it after we messed with it, right? So we artificially lowered the reservoir in the early 2000s for that work, and then it took 20 years to recover. So normally the reservoir should recover every 5 to 7 years.
All right. Are there other questions about this chart?
Yeah, I have one.
Go ahead.
So the agreement that was in place prior to this litigation, did the county ever agree to do this, and then the release was that we've been doing was what was approved when that agreement was made?
Yes, the board adopted the interim downstream release schedule back in 2000, I think it was 2006 or 7. So that was adopted by the board. It was in response to the drought at the time. That's what we've been going by ever since. And I don't believe we've heard any comment from any other regulators on that plan, because we've been, in the interim, we've been working on the habitat conservation plan up until now and going through that process.
So, how long has the project that we recently approved, that was litigation was filed right before we approved it, how long has that been in the making?
What project are you referring to?
The ladder, the creek.
The AG gauge replacement, that one? I've been with the county since 2016, and I know it was kind of on the books since then. So it was on there for a while. I know Creeklands had been working to raise money for it and get grants and things. And so, so it wasn't until this last year that they finally got all the money necessary to do it. So
if that had been done, fulfilled, would the current release amounts not be challenged? Because the basis of the lawsuit is the county had not done what they had agreed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they reintroduce new numbers, right? So if that had been done, mm-hmm. we would not be talking about these new numbers, more than likely.
I don't want to speculate too much, but there's a lot to the lawsuit, not just the fish passage barriers. So I don't know if I can really speak to that right now. Yeah.
Thank you. To clarify, right now it's 38 to 42, and over a year's time it would go up to 52.
Yeah, and I can I can pull those numbers up just so they're accurate. So 5,721 acre feet. So currently at the 7.9 CFS release rate in the yellow box up in the corner, you can see it would be 5,721 acre feet released. That is just based on the base flow, not the pulse flows that are being required as well. Under the wet year consideration, that means that the reservoir is above 40,000 acre feet, which it is. We are being required to release an additional 884 acre feet in two pulse releases. So so we'll be closer to about 6,500 acre feet.
And is there, do you have any kind of timeline on the lawsuit?
I do not. I don't.
Very sobering.
Yes, yes it is. And, you know, effectively what they're talking about is draining our reservoir. And, you know, as David pointed out, it took us 20 years to recover from maintaining the reservoir at no higher than 75% of capacity. We're talking about effectively going to zero. And, you know, I don't think we ever recover from that.
David, at what point in those projections would we essentially trigger the low reservoir response to the point of we're just going exclusively groundwater at that point?
So that's a challenging to answer because under the preliminary injunction, I don't believe it gives us the grounds to enact the low reservoir response plan. So I can't really answer that.
So my thought is then it wouldn't, and at least when we got below that dash line where it started to get really nasty water, we would pretty much be groundwater for the better part of 2 years.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. And then, and I can clarify too that this graph does account for, so you know, we do get to reduce to 5.9 CFS once we hit the dry condition, but that's not until the reservoir hits 20,000 acre feet. So it's kind of misleading in the sense that there's a dry, normal, and wet designation. It has nothing to do with rainfall. It has nothing to do with inflow. It's strictly tied to lake volume. So at 40 and above, we're at wet. 40 to 20, we're normal. 20 and below, we're dry. So until we hit 20, we have to stay at that 7.9 CFS.
Unfortunately, I think our public is not aware of the ramifications of this lawsuit.
So the county has appealed it, right? That's been my information, is the county has appealed this latest decision, so.
I don't believe an appeal has been filed at this time.
Really?
So I really can't talk about that.
Okay, because that was the last update.
Yeah. I apologize.
All right, so thank you for covering that.
Yeah.
I think with that, we'll move on to project updates.
Sure. All right, so we'll start off, I'll hold questions till the end if anybody has any. So currently, we have the fire flow tank all teed up, ready to go, put out the bid. That one, we were hoping that there might be some additional county ARPA funds left over. As it turns out, there was not. So anyways, we got it all ready to go. It's ready to, you know, it's ready to hit the street. As soon as that's budgeted through the normal budget process, we'll go ahead and put that out to bid. The membrane module replacements, we're still, we have two racks left and we plan on, you know, doing that work once we have enough budget to do the work. We did get a nod from the TAC and some of the other finance managers to potentially move money around. Well, there's some concern that the plastic costs and things like that can go up in the near future, and the membranes have done nothing but get more expensive. So we might take some of the already budgeted money from, say, like the fire flow tank or some of these other projects, cathodic protection, if we have it, I'll have to look at it. But we might fully fund the membrane rack sooner than later. and borrow money from the other projects and then put that money back in a subsequent year. So that way we get the best pricing we can on the membrane modules. So we're looking at kind of prioritizing some of these projects and just doing the one project at a time. But as of right now, we're still looking at just budgeting it normally, but it could change. Spillway assessment and investigation, no change. We're still waiting on the final report from GEI. I did get word that they thought that they would have that report done by February. So we'll have some more information on what they recommend for any repairs up at the main dam spillway. Geotechnical testing of the terminal reservoir, that is still in DSOD's hands, still being reviewed. It's my understanding they're pretty short-staffed. So they have not given us any updates as to when they'll complete their review. The cathodic protection repair, that one, it's multi-phased. So I can say that two phases, or the first phase of it is complete. Units one and three, that's close to the dam and the water plant, and then one section down through, I believe it's like Pismo and AG. Those sections have been, the rectifiers and granode beds have been replaced, and everything's working really good down there. Next phase is to put one testing site over at the state water line, and then test the whole section again, or sorry, the whole pipeline again, and make sure everything's cathodically protected. So we're still working on that with the state getting permits. The DAF building repairs, that one's kind of crept up on us. We've had a lot of corrosion issues in the DAF building. So it went from just replacing a support girder for some safety lines to replacing almost a better part of a quarter of the building. Some of the trusses and stuff rusted out. That building's always wet due to the DAF process. So it's kind of to be expected, but we're hoping that the new galvanization and paint coatings that we expect will help prevent this from deteriorating in the future. That's it on the kind of what we were working on, and then I can say as of now, the spillway flip bucket drain line, that was an unanticipated one. After all the storms, we noticed that the flip bucket was not draining and it was just holding water, so we got up there, got it replaced and repaired. So that one's complete, as well as all the FEMA perimeter channel repair and the flip bucket rip wrap repairs are all done under FEMA. So yeah. Any questions on projects?
The fire flow tank, so a $900,000 shortfall, do we have any ideas about where that funding might come from in the next couple of years?
You know, we're looking at just funding it under the normal CIP budget. So I think we've been hitting it with about $150,000 to $200,000 a year. The tank is old. It's leaking a little bit, but not a lot. Nothing to be concerned with it. You know, a 60-year-old tank, it's actually holding up pretty well. So our concern definitely isn't that it needs to be replaced immediately. We think that over the next 3 to 4 years is fine, and that it'll be good to go. You know, it'll hold up until then, I should say. So,
we have a question from the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah, there you go.
Good morning. My name is Eileen Lowe. I'm with the City of Aurora Grande, and I'm a little out of order. I don't know if this is a comment on the minutes or the last item, mm-hmm. but if I may. The minutes mentioned the Habitat Conservation Plan update, and I was wondering if there was information posted somewhere publicly that just summarizes the progress of the HCP.
So right now, I do think we have some information on the previous drafts and things that were done, you know, back in like 2004. That is on the Zone 3 webpage through the county. But I don't think there's any new information there or status updates on the webpage. Moving forward with the HCP, working with our consultants to draft the final chapters of it, we're thinking that we might need to bring another, you know, consultant on to help finish any surveys or even to support the drafting of the remaining chapters. But yeah, we're still making progress on it. But to answer your question, no, there isn't any place that gives this level of update. I try to give it here, but there. If you want to know any of the history of it, it's definitely on the Zone 3.
And I will just make the comment that the HCP has been going on for just about as long as I've been a member of this committee, which is over 20 years. So it's been a long process. Just a comment regarding the operations report, and this actually came from the minutes from the last meeting and a comment that Vardik Hedda made to me. Historically, we had a recreation report, and And I think that that was really driven by the fact that the funding that, you know, funded the Lopez project initially required a recreational component. So do you think you could just add, I mean, we used to have somebody actually show up here from, I guess, the Parks Department and talk about what was going on. Short that, could we just have maybe a little thumbnail of, you know, what's going on with visitation and that kind of thing at Lopez?
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, I'll reach out to Parks.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
All right, any other questions or comments about the operations report? Okay, and with that, I guess we'll move to future agenda items. Are there any thoughts on future agenda items? All right, and then our final.
Sorry, go ahead, Ron. Yeah, I was just going to propose that we have a look at our fire protection storage. I mean, in light of what's going on in Southern California, right? For us to all have a little bit of an overview about what happens in a terrible case scenario around here would be good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts on future agenda items? All right, and then the final piece is member comments. Are there comments that members of the committee would like to make at this juncture?
And I'll interrupt real fast. I think we skipped over action item number 6 to endorse our granted member appointment.
Oops!
I was like, I knew we were supposed to do something here today.
All right, yeah. Okay, there is an action item. Well, bad chair. Anyway, so with that, is... I guess we need a motion to endorse Eileen Lowe from the City of Arroyo Grande as the Arroyo Grande member.
So moved.
Second.
All right. And how about a roll call vote to endorse that?
Sure thing. Member Seacrest, Member Rushing, Member Guthrie.
Yes.
Member Gibson.
Yes.
Member Hagman. Member Talley.
Yes.
Member Riley.
Yes.
Welcome, and I'm sorry, Eileen. All right, and with that, member comments. Are there comments that folks from the committee would like to make?
I'll make one. Pray for rain.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, I am going to make a comment, and I'm a little disappointed about the fact that our TV friends aren't here, but I think what I'll do then, David, is go ahead and email this to you so that we have it for the minutes.
Yeah, we will, they requested that we record the video per my phone. I will give that to AGP, and I think they'll use that to post to their website as well.
Okay, great. So I'd just like to make some comments regarding the lawsuit and the preliminary injunction regarding our operation of Lopez Dam. And this is from my perspective as both a third-generation farmer here in the Arroyo Grande Valley, as well as the agricultural representative of this community or committee. First of all, the models that David showed us today in those charts demonstrated that the proposed release schedule would have effectively drained the lake in 2016, as well as for a prolonged period in 2021 and 2022. We're in the midst of a La Nina event right now. We've only received 5 inches of rain to date, and it's my understanding that the increased releases began yesterday. So this is increasing our releases by close to 50% and potentially as much as 2,000 acre feet. So this judgment would put us on the path of draining Lopez Lake, which is our main water supply. Number two, defending this lawsuit is already resulting in a diversion of resources away from critical projects in both staff time and money. And at the end of the day, South County ratepayers will foot the bill to fight this lawsuit, likely to the tune of millions of dollars. And this is going to result in higher water fees for everybody in the South County. Finally, this lawsuit threatens our water supply and more than 60 years of productive collaboration between Lopez Water Contractors, San Luis Obispo County, and the agricultural community since the conception and construction of the Lopez Dam, which began in the 1960s. During that time, we both protected our water supply as well as threatened species through thoughtful and pragmatic management practices. If the plaintiffs prevail, we'll be subject to outside agencies dictating how we manage our water supply. So with that, I encourage local residents to learn more about what is happening here and make your voices heard so that we can protect our water supply. And the easiest way to do that right now is just, you know, simply Google Lopez Lake lawsuit. There are resources up on the web from both the Tribune, the New Times, Cal Coast News, and going forward, I expect there to be more news coverage of this. All right. So with that, I think we will adjourn.
Gavel.
Boom.